We rise. And this is the eternal life, that we know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
We consider the word of the Lord, which comes from Luke chapter 4. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered and said to him, "It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. These words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing we may have life in his name.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated. We pray, Lord, sustain us with your word alone. Amen. In the name of the Lamb who was slain, who has begun his reign, dear fellow beneficiaries of our Lord's suffering and death, pilgrims of a heavenly pilgrimage, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Sounds like a national headline. Man eats nothing for 40 days, is offered food, shelter, and even the aid of angels, yet turns it all down to be sustained only by the words of a book. That number 40 draws our attention to another wilderness journey that Scripture has recorded. For 40 years, the children of Israel journeyed through the wilderness, having been set free from their slavery in Egypt. Like Jesus, they were tested. Hunger, the desire for earthly comfort, the need to prove God is gracious to us. In fact, all three of Jesus' scripture quotations come from the life of the children of Israel in the wilderness. This wilderness motif of scripture also gives us something to think about for our own lives. Just like Israel, we face a pilgrimage through a world filled with temptations from the devil, earthly needs, earthly comfort, the desire to have proof that God is with us are the real tests that we face. It is only by looking to this perfect work of Jesus, overcoming the devil in our place, that we stand any chance. We see before us a man sustained in the wilderness by word and faith. So shortly after God's powerful display of deliverance in Egypt, we find Israel complaining. In the second month into their wilderness journey, we read in Exodus chapter 16, the children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Their hunger reveals a need for more than just food. They were spiritually lean. Psalm 78 speaks of this in depth. We read, "But they sinned even more against him. They rebelled against the Most High in the wilderness. They tested God in their heart by asking for the food of their fancy. Therefore the Lord was furious because they did not believe in God and they did not trust his salvation." They fell because they didn't trust God's promise that he was going to care for them and he was going to deliver them. How often when we're confronted with earthly comforts or needs, do we forget the promises of God? When our finances become tight, we become anxious about the future. When the government makes choices that we don't agree with, or the economy takes a turn for the worse, we suddenly start fearing for the future of our children. When some of the luxuries we once enjoyed are taken away, how often do we complain? Left to these sins, without Christ, we would fall just like Israel. Therefore, the Spirit drives God's Son into the wilderness for us to face these tests. Just after his baptism, in Luke chapter 3, Jesus, anointed with the Spirit, has his first job as our Savior to face the wilderness and face the devil. We read verse 3. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." It was not that Jesus was short on resources. He could surely cure the whole world of its hunger problems, let alone feed himself with some bread. The question was designed to get Jesus to doubt God's role for him, or God's promise, God's declaration that he was the Son of God, to prove it. So Jesus turns to Deuteronomy chapter 8. There we read from Deuteronomy, "You shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowing you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Where Israel fell, where we have fallen, Jesus stands. In order to fulfill our righteousness, he had to be tested like you and I, as a true human being. He could not make use of his divine powers for selfish things, to help himself out of this test. So as true man, he fulfills God's call, as he says in John chapter 4, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me." So what do you hunger for? Relief from stress, financial cushion, luxuries you once enjoyed that have been sacrificed in this wilderness. Perhaps God is testing you. Perhaps the devil is tempting you. What will sustain you is not earthly bread. It is the bread of life. Survive by the fact that Jesus has overcome the devil, sin, and this world to give you heavenly peace. No evil thought the devil can whisper in your ears can change this fact. And so Jesus says in John chapter 6, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Think of the worship service as an escape from that wilderness you live in. The word here brings to you eternal life to sustain you with the promise and the announcement that your sins are forgiven. The Lord's Supper is here for you today to truly receive a meal for your soul. This wine is the heavenly presence of God's blood shed for you. This bread is the heavenly presence of the body which was given for you into death. And here you are joined to Christ himself and to each other. So don't forget your unity with fellow Christians also at times of stress, of hunger, of needs. For no one goes hungry in the fellowship of the church, not physically and not spiritually. As we journey through this wilderness, let us not be lured back to Egypt by earthly bread. What a headline! Man sustained in the wilderness by word and faith. One of the reoccurring themes of Israel's complaints to Moses was, "We wish we were back in Egypt. We are happy so long as we're comfortable. At least more comfortable than we used to be." Resisting temptation does not give us this comfort. Standing against the tests of God or the temptations of the devil make us feel uncomfortable. The second temptation posed to Jesus was to offer him all the comfort of the world. Even more so, it was an offer to avoid the path of the cross. We read, the devil said, verse 6, "All this authority I will give to you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. If you worship me, all will be yours." Jesus here could receive an earthly kingship without having to go through the suffering and death of the cross. After all, this was exactly the type of king that the people wanted. They wanted someone to provide them with earthly bread and comfort. Surely Jesus would use this great gift for good, to put an end to world hunger, to unite the world under one kingdom, a righteous king, Jesus himself. The devil's ready to give you everything your flesh desires, all riches, all power, all pleasure. He wants to give you the opportunity to avoid suffering, to avoid persecution. Only one condition. You must bow down to him. Without Christ, we would be stuck in this wilderness, serving the devil, destined for hell. Before Israel could know the promised land, they would go through suffering. This is the path to true glory, a path of faith, trusting in the word. So Jesus quotes Deuteronomy chapter 6 in verse 8, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Jesus was anointed not for earthly glory. He was anointed for humiliation and for death. In fact, that is the kingdom of God, that which rules in the midst of suffering. That which doesn't give us what our flesh wants, but conquers what our flesh wants. The first commandment's fulfilled, as Jesus quotes here, by faith. It is faith that truly worships God. Jesus submits to his will and trusts the one who will preserve him through death and raise him to life, just like us. Think of yourself as a pilgrim, a nomad in this world. All the riches, all the power, everything the devil would give to you are fallen. They're doomed. So journey on uncomfortably. trusting that God's heavenly glory is yours by faith. This is our spiritual service, to be sustained by word and faith. So soon after God responds to that complaint for food, Israel is found complaining again. This time they're short on water. They accuse Moses of bringing them out into the wilderness to die of thirst now. God does answer their cry, but he is not pleased. He calls the place where they ask this Meribah, a word which means contention. As it says in Exodus 17, they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is not the Lord among us?" The devil tries to get Jesus to fall into this same contention. Is God with him? Where's the proof? We read in verses 9 and 10 that he brought him to the pinnacle of the temple and said, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, 'He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.'" If you are the Son of God, prove it. Prove that God is among you. As Jesus stands on top of the temple, it's likely there are a whole crowd of Jews below. Prove to these people that you are the Christ by showing them this miraculous deliverance so they can believe in you. How often doesn't Satan ask you to prove that God exists? He whispers in your ear that God isn't giving enough evidence. More is needed. A sign, perhaps. When you have had conversations with those who don't believe or are the skeptical type, what kind of questions come up? Meribah. Prove it. Our rational mind wants a logical proof that God dwells among us, that Jesus is the Christ, that we have the one true faith. Do you also find when having these discussions with others that they quote scripture? That they seem to know more about the Bible than you do? I've had these discussions. The antagonist will throw out things like, "How did Noah get all those animals on the ark?" Or why does God say in the Old Testament an eye for an eye, but in the New Testament Jesus says to love your enemies? They start throwing out a few passages and we start to get scared. What if they're right? Jesus could have easily refuted the devil's argument. He could have pointed out that when quoting Psalm 91, he left off the portion which says, "To keep you in all your ways." He could have pointed out that Psalm 91 emphasizes the spiritual dwelling place we have by trusting in God rather than seeing it with our own eyes. He responds instead, "It has been said, 'You shall not tempt the Lord your God.'" He reveals the devil is really asking a twisted question. Another Meribah. To contend for earthly proof of God's love. We too need to be rebuked when we start thinking this way. This wilderness will leave us parched. Doubts, rationalizations, our own sins, and lack of understanding of Scripture leaves us thirsty. Our sinful mind wants to contend with the Lord, to test Him. So desperately, we need to drink of the spiritual rock that pours forth from God's mouth. The Word will answer your questions. It will correct your doubts. It will rebuke your unbelief. And it will reveal God's love. Invite that skeptic to church to see with his ears that God is among us. That his word delivers something heavenly that can't be seen with the eyes, but that comes to the heart, as we read in Romans chapter 10. From our earlier scripture reading, "The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Our evidence is not earthly. It's heavenly. It's the word which is near to us, which brings us the resurrection of Christ as a sure defense that God will not abandon us in the wilderness, that we don't need to prove it, that we need to believe it. God's love is proven not by Jesus throwing himself down from the temple in Jerusalem, but by him being lifted up on the cross in Jerusalem. And so as James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Call upon that heavenly presence which is given by word and faith. During Israel's 40 years in the wilderness, bread and water were not what really sustained them. It was the word. It was the promise that brought them to the land in which they would dwell. As pilgrims, this world will never be our home. We long for something more permanent. We overcome the temptations of the devil by resting in God's promises, by looking to Jesus who goes before us, overcomes temptation, and gives us heaven itself. This is the promised land. A promised land that comes by word and faith. Let us pray. Lord, keep us under the shadow of your wing. Through your word, sustain and deliver us from every evil work of the devil. What a headline. Man sustained in the wilderness by word and faith. Amen. We rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.